24 members present, that is a quorum. I will call us to order and ask those who choose to join in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome, everyone. We have a full agenda tonight, and I will lead us off with a couple of announcements and reports from the chair. We will leave up at the front of the room here. So if you would like to actually hold on to it and view it, perhaps have your picture taken with it, you can. This is the recognition that we received from Wisconsin Counties Association that reads, "In appreciation for an outstanding WCA conference presented to La Crosse County on September 24th, 2012. So we appreciate very much the recognition from WCA, and that'll be down at past Ginny there on your left. And we are I am always happy to hear feedback from supervisors. If you want to drop me an email, any feedback that you have on the WCA conference, we were able to do some of that at the executive committee meeting earlier this month, but would be happy to hear any comments or suggestions that you have. Just a couple of notes on the 2013 budget process. Reminder that we do have at least one additional executive committee meeting scheduled for October 31st. The significance of that day, I'm sure, is obvious to all. That will be at 9 o'clock. We did try several different meeting times and dates for that, and that was the time that worked best. But that will be when the executive committee takes another look, kind of a final thorough look, really, at the budget. I know that in committees, you all have been spending some time on the departmental budgets for which your committee is responsible. And just a reminder, I guess, from the chair that all questions are appropriate at budget time. This is clearly one of the most significant sets of decisions that we will make as county board supervisors. And from what I have seen at the meetings I've been able to attend, there's been a good free flow of information and asking of questions. And I hope that that continues throughout. Having said that, the chair would encourage any supervisor who is planning on making an amendment to the budget that we get it done as soon as we can. When we try to make amendments on the floor of the board the day that we're trying to pass the budget, it creates significant problems. Supervisors can do it at any time. So I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just asking you, if you know now or if you have an idea about either a question or a change or anything related to the budget, I would strongly encourage you to bring that forward right away so that the math can be done and the adjustments can be made so that when we are debating on the, is it the 12th of November, I believe, or 13th, I'm sorry, 12th is the public hearing, that we have all of that, those numbers prepared. Let me just stop there and make sure if anybody has any questions, I can answer them. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Chair. As past practice would dictate, will the public hearings at 6 o'clock on the 12th, and then we'll begin our regular agenda meeting after the public hearing on the 12th, correct? So we can get a head start on the meeting and the budget, which will carry over at 9 o'clock the next day.
Correct. The only caveat is that if the public hearing goes until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I'm not sure that we'll be taking up a bunch of agenda items that evening. But as you indicated, past practices, the public hearing has been relatively brief. We would start right away onto our regular agenda. Yep. Thank you for that reminder, especially for supervisors who are experiencing a budget for the first time. With that, I'll call on Supervisor Cruz to tell us a little bit about a board education opportunity.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as a little bit of background, with each new two-year county board cycle, the Health and Human Services...
Is your mic on?
I hope so. It looks like it is. Can you hear me?
Yep, that's better. Thanks.
Okay. The Health and Human Services staff provides new board members with an orientation of some sort, and it has taken a variety of different formats, from getting a tour of the facilities to doing a walk a mile in my shoes kind of thing. And this time, we've decided to try something new. It's called Being a Client. And you have an invitation at the very front of your packet for tonight. We have decided, because it sounded great, we would invite all county board members to participate in this. And what we have done is staff from Health and Human Services realm have come up with a number of scenarios that would mimic what a member of the public goes through when they come to Health and Human Services for any variety of services. And so you might be able to come in and apply for child care credits, or you might come in and want vaccination or whatever. There's a lot of different kinds of scenarios. And what we have decided at Health and Human Services Committee is that once one of our members has done this, they will come back to the committee and do a little report, and perhaps the staff member who has provided the service will come along and provide some information in addition to that. Now, if any of the other board members want to participate in that, you don't have to do a report. This is totally discretionary. But we would invite you to participate in that because we think it's fun and it's informational, and you might learn something. So feel free to join us.
Thank you for the invitation. And it's clear on the notice what a supervisor needs to do to...
I think so.
Become involved. I apologize.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Okay. Yeah, there is a sheet that you can fill out and hand in to let us know when you want to do it and which one you want to do, and then we'll try and fit you in.
Great. Thank you, Supervisor Cruz. District 11 interviews have been set for next Tuesday, the 23rd, starting at 5:30. The plan is to do approximately 20-minute interviews with each of, I think we have five applicants so far. Tomorrow is the deadline, so we may pick up another applicant or two or three, I guess. But those interviews will start at 5:30. They're up in room 3220. You have the pink notice on your desk. And although this doesn't necessarily commit you to attending, it would be helpful for us to know, just to make copies and so forth of materials, if those who are planning on participating, and keep in mind you need to participate in all of the interviews, you need to be there for the whole time, if I could see a show of hands now of those who think that they will be attending those interviews next Tuesday starting at 5:30. Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions about that process? Supervisor Meyer.
Are you going to have a committee, or is everyone going to have votes that attends this, or what's this?
It will be similar to what we've done in the past. So everyone who attends will be asked to participate in all of the interviews and then give feedback as we have in the past. And that feedback will, I'll be there leading the interviews. So it's ultimately, the appointment is mine to make, but I will value heavily the input from supervisors who are in on those interviews. And it will likely be right away. I mean, we need to make a decision because the plan is that on November 5th, at the planning meeting, that person will be sworn in.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Any other questions about that? If not, a reminder about the Frac Sand Mining Conference flyer that was on your desks for the planning meeting last week. I think Brian, Carl, somebody needs to hear back on that. The deadline is looming for the Frac Sand Mining. The deadline is Monday, so if you're planning on attending, will you please follow up on that? I think that's my last announcement. Supervisor Conference reports and announcements. Supervisor Paff.
Yes, I just thank you, Madam Chairman. I wanted to mention that we had a wildlife and abatement committee meeting Monday morning. I thought I was.
It appears as though this evening we need to be eating our microphones again to make sure everybody can hear us. Thank you, Supervisor Paff.
Yes, we had a wildlife and abatement committee meeting Monday morning, and I was just going to bring to your attention that what we have done here in La Crosse County, with adding that $20 to the processor is doing its job, because just to give you a clue here, what happened statewide last year, the donations, there was 4,890 deer, which is up from the year before. But in our area, the ones that are doing bad, you take in every other county was down in donation. La Crosse County was too, but just for instance, Clark County, which is a large county and has, but they don't have a processor, and they're not subsidizing them at all, because the DNR pays $55, and we as La Crosse County put $20 to help make it feasible for the processor to break even on them. Anyway, Clark County was down to 7 deer donated for their food pantries. Trimble County, right next door to us, which is a large county, they were down to 24. La Crosse County here, we was down from 88 to 62, but at least we're doing so much better than those counties, and we have to continue, well, we don't have to, but it would be nice if we could continue to do what we're doing as long as we keep a processor in this area, because our processor done an excellent job with the number of deer he had, and for the $1,240 that La Crosse County put with it, along with from the state, we did get 3,000 pounds of processed venison protein for the food pantries, which is a real bargain for La Crosse County, and the food pantries are in dire need of it. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention that our extra money that we're putting in it is well worth it. Thank you.
Thank you for that report, and thank you for your service on that committee. Other supervisor conference reports or announcements? Supervisor Pedretti.
I have an announcement and a report. First, the announcement. Our committee is switching our minute format, the format that we use for reporting on the minutes. We were doing word for word. There were long pages, as you know, last month, what was it, 35 pages. We're switching to a sound. It's an MP3. And so if you go onto the website and go under minutes and PR&D, you can actually listen to the public hearing. And it'll be noted which conditional use permit or zoning petition, so you can look it up specifically. And then the minutes will just highlight the discussion, and then the vote, of course, and the motions, et cetera. We're hoping that that'll streamline the process and still get the information out to everybody. So if you have any questions or you want to go through a demonstration, our staff would be happy to help you with that. And then conference report. I attended the Land Conservation, the state convention in Wisconsin Rapids, October 4th through the 5th. Land conservation is getting hit hard state level. The funds aren't coming in. As you know, we get a lot of mandates from the state government saying you need to do this, this, and this, but the money's not coming behind it. So we're not the only county. We'll be talking about this in the budget process about farmland preservation and how we need to staff. We have staff that helps farmers with this, but the money's not coming in to help with the staffing, so we're going to have to make some decisions on that. And it seems to be statewide that all counties are experiencing this trouble. There's a lot of good things. The workshops were very helpful for me to understand what's going on. Obviously, frac sand is one of the issues, but not the only issue. And so it was a very informative conference, and I'd be happy to share the agenda or some of the highlights with anyone who is interested. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Pedretti. Any other supervisor conference reports or announcements? If not, we'll move to Corporation Council report. Mr. Lang.
Thank you. Just a brief announcement. We're going to be doing an update of our entire code of ordinances. Now, there'll be maybe 6 or 7 that we've already updated or ones that are before you this evening for a first reading. But periodically, it's important for us to review the ordinances because there's always sections that are outdated, they're archaic, they make the wrong legal references, and sometimes they're just items that don't reflect current practice. So it's important to update our ordinances periodically. So we're going to be trying to go through the entire ordinance, and hopefully the goal is to accomplish this by the end of next year. The way we're going to try to do it is I'm going to contact the department heads and find out which are more urgent that have to occur right away, which may take longer, and have departments recommend the changes, bring those to our office. Sometimes we'll work together with them on those changes, and then legally we'll look at it, make sure that the changes are legally made, see if there's any other changes that need to be made, and then we'll bring them to the standing committees and then to the board. We'll try to stagger these because if we've got something like 26 ordinances to do, that's going to take some time, so you don't want to have 26 ordinances before you in one meeting. So we'll try to stagger these over next year, and you know, it's going to take some time. It's a big project, but by the end of it, we should have ordinances that are more streamlined and reflective of the current practice. Thank you.
And there's a green sheet in your packet that outlines that the ordinances and what committees are responsible for those particular ordinances. So you might just take a look at what items your committee will be looking at in the next several months. Any questions about that? Supervisor Friedland.
No on that, but with your indulgence, I'd like to go back to conference items. Brian Fukuda asked me to announce something that's going to be coming up. So
I'll be indulgent for the next few seconds.
Okay.
Yes.
The Outdoor Recreation Alliance will be doing an Outdoor Recreation Summit. That's going to be this year's collaboration conference. And we all should have gotten an email about it, but just to refresh your memory, it will be on October 25th from 1 to 5:30. And I suppose we should let Terry know if we want to go to it. There'll be speakers including Kathy Stepp, the Secretary of the Wisconsin DNR, and the point is to work on making this region a true outdoor recreation destination for working and playing. And I think this is going to be a really interesting conference this year. Thank you.
Actually, it should be the clerk's office that you notify. We're trying to make that shift to have conference attendance and travel arrangements and so forth go directly through the clerk's office. But thank you for that announcement. Back to the clerk, speaking of which, for her report.
Thank you. Past practice has always been if there's a first ordinance reading, we put the analysis, we put a clean copy, and then the corrected copy in your packet. In an effort to be more sustainable and save money costs on making copies, we're going to change that to the first reading, you will get the analysis and the corrected copy. The second reading, you will only get the analysis as always. The reason being is the one ordinance this month is 60-some pages long. So if I give you the clean and the corrected, we're over at 100 pages for just an ordinance, and both of them say the same thing. So in an effort to go sustainable, we're going to just limit that to just the corrected copy for the first reading. Online with the agenda, I will attach the analysis, the corrected, and the clean. So if you want to see a clean copy, you can go to the website, and I will have it very clearly spelled out what version is where on the agenda. So I hope
that works.
Questions
about that? That was easy. Thank you, Jenny, very much. Before we move to the administrator's report, I would ask for unanimous consent that the addendum item be moved up under Mr. O'Malley's report. Any objection to that? Seeing none, Mr. O'Malley.
Madam Chair, members of the board, you'll notice in your agenda packet that we added an addendum. I wasn't expecting to have this on tonight because I didn't know there would be a decision made, but over the last several weeks, Pam Sem, our administrator at Lakeview, came to a decision to decide to retire, and over the last several weeks, we've been talking about it with her, and she was trying to decide what date actually made sense for her. And she recognized that in her decision to retire, she wouldn't be here for the long term in the ability to actually guide what this next step is for Lakeview, and that recognizing that both her timing was a little bit in the midst of the project as well as that there is an additional amount of work necessary to make that transition. Over the last several weeks, we talked about it, and she came to a decision this week to actually step down as administrator and to do some additional work for us that would end up helping to push Lakeview into a better position going into the future. You may almost also know that at the time that we made Pam Sem our administrator, we also hired Wanda Placecki as our associate administrator. And without any further ado, I'd like to describe for you her background and why I'm recommending her for the position of Lakeview administrator. Wanda's worked for in long-term care for over 28 years. She has a master's degree in health and human services administration. She's obviously a licensed nursing home administrator. She previously was 9 years with us as assistant administrator before going to Jackson County, where she was the administrator of their Pineview facility, and then we attracted her back, where she took the position of associate administrator, working as part of a dynamic team that has really expanded Lakeview services to all the community-based facilities and is really the project lead right now on this entire strategic planning effort that is going through the most fundamental analysis of what we do with Lakeview. So I just wanted to share with you that this is a decision that Pam made, that she felt it was something she needed to do and to begin to make the transition out, and also my decision to recommend to you Wanda is without hesitation. She's an excellent person. She's learned a great deal by working with Pam over the last several years, and will put us in the best position and communicate confidence to our staff out there that we're going to be in the Lakeview services for the long term. We'll make the right decisions for the community. I've talked with Roger as the committee chair of this. I've talked with our board chair as well as board leadership, and I have no hesitation in recommending Wanda Placecki as our next Lakeview administrator, and would ask for your approval.
Is there a motion to approve the administrator's recommendation? Moved by Supervisor Plesha, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion. Supervisor Pedretti.
Clarification, in this letter that you attached, the last paragraph, it says effective October 15th, 2013. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. That'd be 2012.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I was hoping.
Thank you for pinch hitting for Sharon Hampson.
After we sent that out already, I was hoping nobody would catch that. So.
Hope springs eternal, doesn't it, Mr. O'Malley? Any other discussion? Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I had a chance to spend about 30 minutes on the phone today with Wanda. And while I don't like the process when we all of a sudden do it without having to go through a normal process, I'm very comfortable. I think she's going to be excellent, and considering the process, I think it's an outstanding choice.
Any other discussion? The motion is to approve Mr. O'Malley's recommendation to hire Wanda Placecki as the administrator at Lakeview. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you, Wanda.
Thank you very much for your confidence. We won't be disappointed, I know. The next item we have is Brian Fukuda. He's going to give a report that was requested on our Lakeview TIF program out there at West Salem. And that's included in your packet, and we'll just turn it over to Brian.
All right. Thank you. You should have a couple of items in your packet on this. This was a report that was given at the Economic Development Fund Board, and we thought that it would be beneficial to share it with the entire board. You should have the TIF annual report that came in your packet. This is as of year-end 2011. We'll be working with the village to put together the new one after the end of the year, obviously. But this is actually a report that comes out technically from the Village of West Salem. We work with them to put it all together, since we're kind of in charge of managing the TIF for them. But this so this report comes out through their eyes. And then you should have a summary or a it's called
our packets. All of these are on green paper, I believe.
Okay. The TID financial report for October 2011, and it's organized more to just kind of tell the story of the TIF. It's not a real financial document. Gary's probably not a big fan of it, but it tells the story of it. And we worked with the finance department to put this together. But just kind of walking down to date, or again, this is as of year-end 2011. The total project costs have been $2.65 million. We have had almost $1.4 million in revenues, including just over $1 million in grants. So we have gotten a significant amount of grants to do infrastructure development out there. And then we have started to take in that TIF increment. If you're familiar with TIF, obviously the as there's new development out there, the increase in development, the tax revenues off of that is a TIF revenue used to pay down those TIF expenses. So we've had $355,000 in incremental revenue so far. And then the next section kind of walks you through kind of a little bit of a cash flow analysis. The anticipated annual revenue based upon the almost $9 million in incremental value that's been created out there times the village's 2011 mill rate gives us about $163,000 worth of annual revenue in TIF increment. That's an estimate, obviously. It'll vary depending upon assessments out there. It'll vary depending upon the mill rate out there. But we should get, without any new development at all, we should get about $163,000 a year coming in. Our annual operating expenses are about $22,000. We have just under $30,000 worth of interest expense. That's now. That will get a little bit lower, obviously, as we pay off some of the principal. But that would leave us with about $111,000 in incremental revenue that we're able to use to pay down the principal debt that we have, so that total current TIF debt of 1.2588. So if you do the math on that, we estimate that if nothing else happens out there, we should be able to close the TIF by the year 2022, which is pretty close in line with what we had originally anticipated. The bottom line, if nothing else happens, we should be able to pay off the TIF pretty close to the original estimate. We wanted to note some of the setbacks that we've had, and this just, I think, goes to the very conservative TIF planning that we did on the front end with this. We have had a number of setbacks. If something could have gone wrong, we think that it did, but we're still looking to close the TIF pretty much on schedule at this point. The level of development that's happened isn't quite what we anticipated, but you know, the noted setbacks, they did a reevaluation. Obviously, the recession slowed down new development. It slowed down some of the expansions that were planned among some of the businesses that are out there already. We did get the village over $558,000 in grant revenues to go towards their reservoir development. That's actually $100,000 more than we had anticipated paying them. We were going to use that other $100,000 to pay down the TIF debt, which would shave some life off of the TIF, but ended up giving that to them put towards their reservoir project. We also had a parcel that ended up Sprint moved in, and that made it a telco property, which means they pay their taxes directly to the state and don't pay anything local property taxes. So that left a huge hole in our TIF, which we needed to do an amendment, get that out of there. But it kind of took away some of the revenues that we had anticipated from that as well. So bottom line, we've had a number of setbacks, but we're still on schedule because we did stay pretty conservative in the planning of this originally. And we do anticipate that over the next 11 years, we will get more development out there. We're already getting some calls. It seems like things are starting to pick back up again. So I think in 11 years, we're going to get more development out there, and that'll help pay the TIF off even quicker, or potentially help us to do more infrastructure development out there. So,
questions of Brian. Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very good report, Brian.
Thank you.
But would you elaborate on the cooperation between West Salem and La Crosse County? The county can't create a TIF, but through a partnership with a city or village, I guess. Could you touch on that just a little bit?
Certainly. Yeah. We actually, the way we're able to do this was actually through some special legislation that we were able to get passed through, where we're actually able to enter into a municipal revenue sharing agreement with a municipality. As Supervisor Spiker points out, counties are not given TIF authority, so we must work in cooperation with a local municipality that does have TIF authority. The way this was set up through the municipal revenue sharing agreement was that the village created the TIF. But through that agreement, they agreed to pass along the TIF revenues to the county to make our debt service payments. So we finance the development, they create the TIF, pass the revenues to us, and then we're able to pay down our debt on the development using those TIF revenues.
Other questions of Brian? Supervisor Paff.
Could I follow up on that, Madam Chair?
It's a night of indulgence, evidently. Yes, go ahead,
you.
Please.
I just wanted to highlight for new board members in particular, Brian kind of downplayed that a little bit. The special legislation actually enabled us to be the first ever joint village county TIF. That's never happened anywhere in the state, and no one else has followed our lead on it. And this is putting property that's not on the tax rolls now because it's all property that the county owns that wasn't generating property taxes. And this was truly a bipartisan effort from legislators on both sides of the aisle. Former Chair Steve Doyle was leading on this effort at the time. But this was truly bringing together many people from many different sides of political issues to make this happen. And again, we're the first in the state to actually accomplish this and still be able to pay it off based on when we projected it. And the Village of West Salem was able to get basically one quarter of their new water tower expense paid for because Charlie and Brian went out after a federal EDA grant that again had bipartisan support from the former Democratic administration of Doyle as well as Republican legislators on the other side. So there's a whole lot of linkage that really put this together, and Brian and Charlie are really the lion's share of the work. But I just wanted to take a moment to highlight their work before we stepped off of that. But it's it really shows what quality work we have here with county staff.
Now to you, Supervisor Paff. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. I was just wondering, when the public utility telco there, when the tax gets paid to the state, and then the state sends it back, when they send it back to the village, does some of that get sent back to La Crosse County then also, or does the Village of West Salem keep it? Or how? And what about what portion does gets back from the state? You know, once it goes to the state, you don't get 100% back, I'm sure, but if you can expand on that.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with the way the telco works. All I know is that it left a really big hole in my TIF district. but I'm not sure exactly how that works.
I cannot tell you the portion that is attributable to the Sprint location, but in total we get $488,760 a utility tax from the state.
Not from just that one.
That's correct. It's from all of them in La Crosse County.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. We could find that out, though, for sure. We could find out what percentage the village gets, what percentage the county gets, and what those numbers were for last year. Any other questions of Brian? Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the 15.5 for administration, is that all to the county, or is that some to the village, some to the county?
That is primarily to the county. There's some very minor items that I believe the village charged to that account, with some of their audit costs or something like that. I think they charged within that, but the lion's share of that is to the county.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Brian? Supervisor Landry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Brian, you said that there was still room for development out there. Just for my own curiosity, what percentage of the TIF has been developed and how much more is there to be done? I like estimations.
There's about 16 acres that is served by street, sewer, water, full utilities that is undeveloped at this point. If we were to do significant extension of those, the full county farm, what we would anticipate would eventually be the Lakeview Business Park, would extend quite a ways further to the east. And in that case, we would add probably another 60 developable acres, at least, I would think, kind of depending on how that road configuration would come in and how all of that would play out. But we have developable, served now, and then we have others. There's also there's also a pretty significant chunk that's actually owned by Select Trust. They were the initial tenant there. They had always anticipated expansion, so they, being the first tenant, we sold them a pretty large chunk of land. They've only developed half of it. So their parcel could be potentially offered up for sale by them, or could be, you know, developed by them as well. So there's another, you know, probably 5 acres there at least.
Any other questions for Brian? Oh, Supervisor Ebert, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, Brian, I don't see where that 15,000 shows up in Economic Development Committee. Where would that show up as a revenue source?
In the Economic Development budget, there is a line item.
Gary has his budget book in front of
him.
Anybody know a good joke while we're waiting?
Yeah, you can show me afterwards, too. I didn't see it here. We can do it after the meeting. I just didn't see it. There's only three items for revenues, which made it real obvious. And
in on the second page, there's an interdepartmental chargeback item. It's proposed for $10,000 for 2012. That's what that is.
And actually, excuse me, Brian. As Brian here is looking at my 2012 budget. You might have the 2013 budget, so you might have a page difference there.
So we can provide.
Afterwards, I'll come
more
up,
clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Brian? If not, thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Anything else for you, Mr. O'Malley? If not, just a reminder to check the bulletin board in the back for cards and correspondence. There are a number of items this month that you might want to take a look at. Since we're not in recess, I know there will be no committees meeting. And with that, I will call on Supervisor Ebert to take the chair, please, for appointments. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move approval of the 8 appointments listed in the agenda. I would move approval of those appointments.
Moved by Chairman Doyle, seconded by Supervisor Doyle, seconded by Supervisor Plesha. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Next up is the consent agenda. Moved by Supervisor Plesha to approve the consent agenda, seconded by Supervisor Schrader. Discussion on the consent agenda. Seeing none, all those in favor of approval of the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That is approved unanimously. Back to you, Supervisor Ebert, for executive committee items, please, with the thanks of the chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, we have the ordinance, No Wake French Islands Slough, for a second reading. I move the motion.
Supervisor Ebert moves approval of Ordinance 109 as this is its second reading, seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Discussion on the ordinance. Supervisor Ferries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've gotten about 6 phone calls on this. A couple of people I know, the rest I didn't, and they were concerned about slowing traffic down too much. It is being a boat owner, past boat owner now, and having it on the north edge, it does take a long time to get down to one of the fine restaurants on the river down in French Island or La Crosse there. As they made me aware, there's enough regulations out there now when high wake is in place and also the buoys that could get in place. So I'm going to be voting against this. I haven't had anybody come up to me and talk to me about that it was a good idea. It does take a while from personal experience moving boat traffic, and if that's something that we're trying to encourage along the Mississippi here in the backwaters, we should consider. So, thank you.
Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you. This did create a flurry of telephone calls in my house, emails, and originally I was against the no wake in that area because of the proliferation of the things around the county, and some of them really don't make any sense. But after it was pointed out to me how narrow the channel there had gotten and the number of people that are in the kayak clubs and stuff that are traveling in that narrow area, it's a very constricted area. And the thing, this is one place that a no-wake zone is needed, and it's not that long. It's just from the interstate bridge to the landing, right below the spillway, if anybody's familiar with it. And it was very nice of Carl to bring the people up to the town board meeting and explain to us, because there were some people on there that really didn't want to see the no-wake zone in there also. But it was very nice to bring the people that live along there and himself, Captain Horseman, and should be all very clear now why there's a no-wake zone proposed for there. Did you want to say anything, Carl? Thank you.
Other discussion on the ordinance? Supervisor Meyer.
In regards to Supervisor Ferry's comments about slowing traffic down, that's probably true. That's the basis of this whole thing. The property owners around there want it slowed down. So I don't know if these people attended the public hearings or anything, but they obviously got a hold of Mr. Ferris. But so being at the public hearings, that's the reason we did it. Thank you.
Supervisor Landry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, unless you know the answer to this, I think this would be for Carl. It's a two-part question. What's this? The average speed of a boat traveling in a no-wake zone, and how long of a distance is this no-wake zone? I mean, I've one of the very few times I've been in a kayak was in this area, but it's kind of hard to tell how long it is. So the reason why I'm asking is if we're worried about people in their, you know, boats with motors on them and they want to get through there quickly, I mean, how long are they actually going to be slowed down? It doesn't seem like a lot.
I guess I don't know the actual speed. The way that a no-wake zone is defined, or that you're going at slow no-wake, is to where you can still maintain steerability but without creating a wake. What speed that is, I think, is going to depend on the vessel. But it's certainly not terribly long, terribly fast, obviously. One of the harbor commissioners told me that the slow no wake on the main channel going by Riverside Park takes 8 minutes to navigate. That's probably one of our longer slow no wakes. This one, I believe, is in the range of maybe 1,900 feet. I would guess time wise it would be a few minutes.
Other questions or discussion on the ordinance? Anybody else for the first time before I call on a supervisor for the second time? If not, Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My grandkids live on French Island off of Plainview Road, and they are down there during the summer. And you know how kids are. They experiment a lot, and they are in the river and do some boating and so on. And I think it's very important for young people people as well to have that no-wake zone in there. And I just think that if it's the rush is to get to a restaurant, that really is not a real need there. It's a very narrow area, and I urge everyone to approve this. Thank you.
Anybody else for the first time? If not, Supervisor Schrader.
I just want to make a comment. I think that there's probably a lack of education put out there for the public because, as Carl was trying to describe what slow no wake is, people just think just because they're going slow sometimes it's fine, but there's boats out there that'll push a wake that's probably 2 or 3 feet high and they're barely moving. So if the Harbor Commission could put out more information on what the distances from docks that people are supposed to operate, what the speed is supposed to be when the water reaches a certain level, I think the boating public needs to have some more education, and then there wouldn't be so many problems. And people are just, I don't know, they're rude. A lot of people are very rude with their high-powered boats, and that's another thing. The boats have used to be a boat was a fishing boat, probably had a 30 or 40 horse engine for a big one. Now they're up there towards 300 horsepower, and these guys shut the things down, and they can almost take the docks right off their poles. I've seen it happen. I've seen it knocking barrels out from underneath them. So,
any other discussion on the ordinance? If not, this is its second reading. We will vote on passage of ordinance section, or excuse me, 30.81, parent 12 of chapter 30 regarding no wake zones. If you are in favor of the ordinance, vote aye. If you are opposed, vote no.
Can do it on the computer.
We'll just, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no noted, Supervisor Ferries. Back to you, Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Resolution 1013, adoption of citizen participation plan for the Southwest Housing Consortium. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board hereby adopts the Citizen Participation Plan, which is attached hereto as Exhibit A. Fiscal note, there is no financial obligation. I move this.
Supervisor Ebert moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Landry. Discussion on the resolution. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved. Back to you, Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Resolution 1014, approval of submission of grant application on behalf of the Southwest Wisconsin Housing Consortium. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board hereby approves and authorizes the preparation and filing of an application for the above-named projects. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair is hereby authorized to sign all necessary documents on behalf of the Southwest Housing Wisconsin Housing Consortium and for said application after approved by Corporation Council. Fiscal note, the amount of the grant for the Southwest Wisconsin Housing Consortium is expected to be $740,000 per year for a period of 2 years. In addition, it is expected that La Crosse County will receive approximately $110,000 for the administration of this grant. The executive committee passed this at a 9-0 vote. I move the motion.
Supervisor Ebert moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Jerome. Discussion on this resolution. If not, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved. Sorry, back to you, Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Resolution 1015, creation of La Crosse County Business Assistance Grant Program. Now, therefore, be it resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby create the La Crosse County Business Assistance Grant Program. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund Board will be tasked with implementing and the proposed Business Assistance Grant Program by advertising and accepting grant applications, reviewing the applications, awarding grants, and administering grants through project completion. Be it further resolved that the County Board Chair shall be authorized to execute grant contracts with the approval of the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund Board and after approval of Corporation Council. Fiscal note, this program will be funded through the Economic Development Budget, Org 1061, Account 71061, Perrin Business and Industry Promotion, and Perrin, carry forward up to $10,000 from the 2012 budget and adding up to $20,000 from the proposed 2013 budget for grant awards in early 2013. This passed Executive Committee on a 9-4-0 against. I move Resolution 1015.
Supervisor Ebert moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Doyle. Discussion on this item. Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me give a little background on this proposal. We had, Senator Schilling and I had a meeting last fall, about a year ago now, with economic development professionals in the La Crosse area, asking them for ideas to create jobs. And that led to a proposal that I introduced at the state level, but it also identified a gap that we have locally, too. And we've been working with Patty Balasek, who is here from Western Technical College, to fill that gap. And let me explain what that is. Right now, at the state level, there is a program called the Workforce Advancement Training Grant Program that is focused on people who are looking for work, who maybe were dislodged from their previous job and have some skills but not quite the requisite skills for new positions. It gives them training. But the problem that we're having in this economic environment, obviously, is that those jobs aren't there. You know, if you're a nurse or you're a welder, those jobs are there, but some of these other ones are not. And some of our local businesses are doing fine with their current situation, but could be doing better and could be helped to be made more stable. And what this does is it allows us to provide grants so that they can bring in most cases it's going to be consulting service to help them expand their market or develop products and so forth. And the example that I always give, you know, fictitious example, is you've got a company in La Crosse that makes widgets. And they're really good widgets, but we have a company in California that makes super widgets. And now they're developing a bigger share of the market and hurting our local company. If we can bring in a consultant to teach our local company how to make those same super widgets or the super duper widgets, then we can expand our company. And so we're competing better with the California company and also with the China and the India company and so forth. And so it's a program that Patty has identified in terms of some local companies who are well-positioned right now to take advantage of this, and we'd like to accept applications immediately. One of the concerns that we have is when we've got these really good local companies that are very dependent upon one client, one customer, that what happens if that customer goes away? All of a sudden, now that whole business is in jeopardy, and they may likewise go away. So by helping them to expand their markets, they're not so reliant then upon that one customer and can better ride out economic storms. So I think this is a great program. I really give a lot of credit to Steve O'Malley, Brian Pakuda, and Patty for sitting down and working out the details of this, because this is a really good economic development idea for the La Crosse area. And I think we're going to see some very immediate benefits from the program, so I encourage people to support it.
Supervisor Berg.
I'm going to speak against this motion.
It seems Make sure you're in your microphone, please. We're having
yes.
A thank you.
Yes, we do have to eat it, don't we? it seems to me that most of the things that are discussed here in new product research, development, testing, enhanced planning, marketing activities, are things that businesses should be doing themselves. And I don't think that the county needs to pay them to do that. The bigger problem I have with it, though, is that it allows us, as county government, to kind of select who are beneficiaries and then who will not be beneficiaries. So essentially picking winners and losers. And the last item is that it has been my experience that public-private partnerships very seldom benefit the public. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Schrader.
Yeah, when Supervisor Doyle was speaking, I believe you said the money be paid mostly to consultants. Is that correct?
I think we should have Brian come in to answer those kind of questions.
Brian, will you briefly describe the process for how this will work? That microphone's not on yet.
There we go. Sorry. The way that we've tried to structure this is that we would encourage local businesses to work with a nonprofit partner that would be, you know, somebody like Patty at Western Technical College or the Small Business Development Center at UW-La Crosse or LADCO or one of those nonprofit entities in the community that is equipped to handle, to work with businesses assist them in their expansion needs. So we would encourage the way the application is laid out would be a joint application from the business along with the nonprofit partner. La Crosse County would put in up to 50% of the cost of the project as they've proposed it. We would require 25% of the cost to come from the business at minimum 25%, and then minimum of 25% to come from that nonprofit partner. That could be, you know, some form of in-kind contribution as well. So,
Supervisor Schrader, did that answer your question?
In-kind coming from which party?
From the nonprofit partner.
From the nonprofit.
So it could be dedicated or donated hours of time of their staff working on this project or, you know, something to that effect.
Thank you.
Other discussion on the resolution? Supervisor Landry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to emphatically support this. I just fundamentally disagree that I think our county has a proven record of private partnership or public-private partnerships that do benefit both. So I just think that's a historical disagreement and personal. But I guess my one question is how many applications or grants do you anticipate this being able to fund? I mean, I wouldn't know how much one of these new market expansion projects would cost to put together something like that, but $10,000 or $20,000, I don't know how many projects that could fund. That's my question.
Sure. The way that we've structured this is that we would ask for applications for amounts between $2,500 and $10,000. We've budgeted, you have the budget proposal, but we've proposed that we would carry forward $10,000 out of this year's budget, add that with $20,000 in next year's budget, so we would have about $30,000 to kick the program off. The idea would be that in the last part of the application is that we would ask businesses, if their project is successful, to actually commit to paying back a certain portion of the grant or a certain portion of their increased profits from that grant back into this program so that we can revolve that back out to help more businesses in the community. We're also hoping to kind of catch the attention of the state and try to make this kind of a pilot project that if we can prove success with a fairly minimal dollar amount in La Crosse County, we could hopefully get the attention of the state to make this a statewide program with state funding sources that we could continue this far into the future without putting a lot more county dollars into it.
Other discussion? Supervisor Downer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. About a month and a half, 2 months ago, Patty and I sat down and started talking about this, not because I was there for that, but because this sort of came up, and we both sort of felt that, yes, this was a great way to go, simply because of the fact that you've got some smaller companies in the area that are looking for a great need, but they didn't know where to go with the idea, and there were a lot of talent and abilities here within the area, the community area, that they could use that as an asset for them to go without going to spend a lot of commit a lot of money on their side, but yet there was a commitment there to make it happen. And I think this grant, reading through this draft grant, was just the right way to go on the whole issue. I mean, from both sides. So I would go along with this whole issue.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. quick question. Could you review the makeup of the La Crosse County economic? Sorry. Can you hear me now? Thank you. Could you review the makeup of the La Crosse County Economic Development Fund board, please?
Sure. The board is made up of, there's 15 members on the Economic Development Fund board. By virtue of the position, it's the county board chair, the first vice chair, the second vice chair, and then there's three other county board supervisors that are appointed to that. And then the county administrator, county finance director, and county corporation council are all voting members of this board. And then there's five public members that have banking, business, legal experience.
Okay. Most of the decisions that that board makes, monies are coming from state and federal grants, correct?
Ultimately, yes. Yeah. Okay. They make decisions on the revolving loan funds.
Okay. So is this a new idea then, that money, we're going to be taking money from our economic development budget and putting it in the form of grants, so this Economic Development Fund Board can make decisions about this, about how to spend this money?
It's actually not. We actually do have we have three revolving loan funds right now that are they're business revolving loan funds that are for expansions and real estate projects and those sorts of things. A typical, you know, business revolving loan fund. We have three funds. One is funded by state CDBG community development block grant dollars. One is funded by a federal EDA grant. And then the other one, which was actually, I believe the first one that we did was actually was county dollars okay. that the county actually put in to this revolving loan fund, and that is managed by the Economic Development Fund Board.
Okay, thank you.
Other discussion on this resolution? We are going to vote on the computer on this. So if you are in favor of the resolution, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. The resolution is approved on a 26-1 vote. Over to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 1016, resolution authorizing the advertisement for public sale and the sale of general obligation promissory notes series 2012A of the County of La Crosse, Wisconsin, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $2,155,000 and related matters. Whereas it is hereby determined that it is necessary and desirable to issue general obligation promissory notes of the County of La Crosse in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $2,155,000 for the public purpose of constructing highways and highway improvements. Now therefore be it resolved by the County Board of Supervisors of the County of La Crosse as follows. I am not going to read all those sections. They're there for you to read. Fiscal note, debt service funding will be provided for in the 2013 county budget. I move its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Just a reminder to the board that this requires a two-thirds vote, and I would call on Gary to give us the background on this and why we're taking it up tonight.
Okay. This borrowing continues our procedure of borrowing for highway improvements. This is an initial resolution that gives the Finance Department authorization to solicit bids from banks to obtain the best interest rate. We are anticipating the interest rate to possibly be just a little bit over 1%, so it's very good time to borrow money. You will get the bids will come in early November, and that is the time when you will approve the winning bid,
which will come during our budget the November planning meeting.
Right,
sorry.
Correct. Yep.
Any questions or discussion on this item, Supervisor Berg?
Yeah, I have a question. Are the funds that are going to be raised here, are they already dedicated for specific projects, or are they going into a general fund? And if they're specific projects, what projects are those?
Supervisor Berg, this is part of the 2012 budget. This is actually four projects that are being done this calendar year.
Which specific ones?
And they're actually included in the back of your capital improvement plan. Ron Chamberlain can identify the specific projects. So, and again, this is for the 2012 budget.
It would be adequate if you just say where we can find it.
County Trunk Highway DE from E to County to Balmer Road.
Did that answer your question, Supervisor Byrd?
Yes, it did, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Where would it be paid out of the highway budget?
Yes.
Same as before then. Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I missed the term of the loan.
5 year.
5 years? And what's the advantage of, I actually shouldn't ask this question, because I know in the past we've discussed borrowing out of our general fund, but not necessarily for highways.
The yearly borrowings that we've done for highway have been funded by the highway department.
I mean, okay, thank you.
Other discussion on the resolution? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved unanimously. Is that it for executive committee?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Thanks to both Supervisors Hampson and Ebert for covering executive committee. Over to you, Supervisor Cruz, for Health and Human Services.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me now? Good. Corp Counsel Lang earlier mentioned that we are in the process of doing a comprehensive update of all our ordinances. So the next three items are those kinds of ordinance updates. I have item 1017, first consideration of ordinance number 108 to amend sections in Chapter 11 entitled Public Health and Human Services of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. It's an ordinance change that brings the County Public Health and Human Services Code up to date.
So Supervisor Cruz is noting this for its first consideration. We will take it up in November for its second consideration and a vote. And just a reminder that if you have questions, you can ask them either now or next month. If you're proposing amendments or changes to the ordinance beyond what's being proposed, I would encourage you to do it tonight so that we can get that straightened out before next month. But it is the purview of supervisors to do that either tonight or next month. So, all right. Mr. Lang would like to be heard.
The other two ordinances will be up.
Sorry. This one will be coming back again in the future, probably within the next 6 months. There were a lot of additions to Chapter 11, but in talking to Doug Moorman, some of the changes to 11.31, the animal ordinance, still has to be updated, so they'll be coming back for another update. So even if you miss something now, this ordinance will be coming back again probably early next year. Just wanted to let you know that.
Because Chapter 11 is a juicy chapter in our Code of Ordinances. It's a very juicy one. All right, back to you, Supervisor Cruz, for the next item.
Thank you. That would be item 1018, first consideration of ordinance number 110 to amend sections in Chapter 12 entitled Sanitation Code of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. These ordinance changes bring the county sanitation code up to date.
So Supervisor Cruz asks that this be considered its first reading, and it will be considered for its second reading and a vote next month. Any items anybody wants to address tonight on this ordinance? If not,
okay.
Back to you, Supervisor Cruz.
Ready for item 1019, first consideration of ordinance number 111 to amend sections in Chapter 13 entitled Licenses and Permits of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. And I do have a slight change or an amendment, whatever we want to call it. We need to clean up some numbers in this one. And this amendment to Chapter 13 are needed to update the ordinance. Some changes are needed to correspond to changes to terminology in Chapter 11. So the change that I would like to note is, I can't tell a page number. I'm sorry. It is under licenses and permits, section 13.03, parent 8.
Just hold it there for a second and say that number again so we can all get there.
It's 13.03, parent 8. And that would be under number 20F. Okay, everybody have that one? Plans for food concessions and concessioners. In F, we need to change, the application shall include the bond required in parent 7B12 rather than 13, so that 13 needs to be changed to a 12. And the certificate of insurance required in subparent 7B14 needs to be changed to 13. So it's just a slight, it's just slightly off on the numbers. And then if we go down to section 10B, on the very last line, the sentence reads, failure by the licensee to pay the bill submitted by the sheriff within such time shall result in the forfeiture of the cash or surety bond required in subparent 7, parent B, and it says 13, now that needs to be changed to 12. So those are the changes. And I propose.
Okay, so those adjustments, the chair is going to rule that those are minor modifications, and those will be considered as part of this first reading.
Okay, so I don't need to move that then.
They're minor enough.
Okay.
And Supervisor Burke would like to be heard on this issue.
No, I was just going to second her amendment.
Oh, got it. Thank you. Supervisor Holtz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These changes that were just given to us, we'll receive that in writing, I hope, eventually. So, because I couldn't follow where all those spots were.
Sure. Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. It'll be in the next one that's
other discussion? Supervisor Veenstra.
I had asked a question at our meeting about the penalty provision, which is sub 11F under enforcement. I was curious whether we could have a stronger penalty provision, and it was indicated at the meeting that it would be likely that that would be something that might come up at judiciary and law. The concern I have is that
can I interrupt you for just a second, please? Can you get all of us to the spot that you are referring to, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 13.03. It's at the end of 13.03 under subparagraph 11 titled Enforcement.
Which follows regulation and application. Okay. Sorry, thank you. I just want to make sure people had a chance to get to that spot.
And I don't know if we really need to deal with this now, but I just had a concern that, you know, sometimes people can have these large assemblies, and if it got out of control and we had a bunch of law enforcement or safety requirements that were necessary to deal with an emergency or something like that, that there's no provision for restitution of the full amount of the expense that the county would actually have. And I didn't know if that public nuisance section would implicitly include something like that or not, and I was just concerned about that, that somebody could be actually cited and then be assessed a fee for the increased expense that the county would incur for dealing with an out-of-control assembly, even a licensed one, that, you know, they didn't, let's say they didn't have adequate security in as this requires, then if all we could get is $1,000, that'd be a minuscule amount compared to the total expense that we would incur.
Mr. Lang.
Yeah, Supervisor Veenstra, I can address that with the sheriff if you'd like, but in the parent 10, the expenses for extraordinary expenses, I think it was intended to cover part of that just in case there were extraordinary expenses, but I can check with the sheriff and see if we need something else.
Okay.
We'll expect an answer to that.
I saw that, but I didn't know if we wanted to also include in the penalty provision, so I might be, if you send somebody a bill who has a big party and they don't have any, you know, way of paying it, I'd be concerned about that.
Well, so you, what you're thinking about is adding that to another penalty for which someone could get a citation for not paying the
restitution. Make it easier for you rather than trying to collect on a proposed bill or something like that, or maybe even a bonding requirement. But maybe we could push that through judiciary and law just to look into it if there might be some other extra method of protecting the taxpayers.
Okay.
So heads up to everybody that this may be an item that comes forward as an amendment next month. Supervisor Veenstra is going to work with Mr. Lang on that, who will be working with the sheriff. So there may be additional amendment language to this. Supervisor Burke.
I think, on 13.03, parent 7B11, that page, there is a bond and insurance. An insurance a policy in the amount of not less than $500,000 per occurrence and $1 million annual aggregate. And there is a bond requirement.
Okay, so we'll just... Everybody knows this may be an issue that comes back.
I don't mean to talk back and forth about this, I'm not sure that would be an insurable loss if it's an out-of-control event or something like that necessarily. So
Supervisor Veenstra, we can expect that Supervisor Veenstra is going to pursue this, and we may be seeing amended language on this next month. Supervisor Paff.
Yes, thank you. I guess I've answered my own question here by the disinterment permit. That evidently is when the medical examiner is ordered to dig somebody else up. Just for curiosity, how many times does that happen? 13, 12.
Does anybody know how many times that happens in a year?
Or is it necessary to, I don't know.
We can get you an answer. I don't know that anybody here knows it.
It's maybe a senseless answer.
So we can have, Mr. Steers give you a call if you
that's all right.
Want to know that. Just Supervisor Schrader.
Let him be.
Can I go back to the sanitation code and ask for an explanation?
No, sorry. But you can ask Supervisor Cruz or Doug Mormon later, and it can come up in our discussion next month. We've moved on to this. Sorry. Right. Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed right at the very end of this, there's a lot of fees in here. I thought all our fees were done in schedule so that we don't have them in ordinance, so if they change, we don't have to change ordinances.
That was the reason for the change. We took out all those fees. That's what the...
Oh, so that means they're getting the boot. Okay. Thank you very much.
That's really the change we made.